Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for another opportunity to learn at your feet. We thank you because you have brought us again tonight to show us how to get into good success. And you want to reveal to us the benefits of planning. I pray that no one lives the same way. Let everyone have an encounter of a lifetime and transform us indeed, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the topic remains unveiling 5 hidden benefits of planning for good success. Unveiling 5 hidden benefits of planning for good success. Last week, we were able to see how talent and skills are not enough to fulfill destiny, that there is something more to it. If you missed that episode, if you missed the live broadcast, please make sure you join again on thegoodsuccess.com. So today, we are looking at the law of planning. Unveiling 5 hidden benefits of planning for good success. Let's check some relevant scriptures about planning. Number 1, Proverbs 21:5. It says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." Number 2, Luke 14:28 says, "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it?" And Proverbs 16:3, it says, "Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established." And number 4, Proverbs 19:21. It says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the Lord's purpose that will stand." Praise the Lord. So number 4, Proverbs 19:21. It says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." And number 6, Proverbs 16:9. "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." From all this, we can see that the Bible is actually very interested in planning. As opposed to what some Christians think, they think Christians are not supposed to plan. But God is very interested in us planning our lives and everything we do. Planning brings order, which is the cure for chaos. Everywhere you see chaos, it means order is absent. But when there's a proper plan, chaos is far away. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, "But all things should be done decently and in order." Without a plan, every road looks like the way. As the old saying goes, whoever fails to plan also plans to fail. Imagine trying to build a skyscraper without an architectural plan and all the other working drawings. Will it not be a disaster trying to happen? Unfortunately, many people, including Christians, are going the disaster way because they just take the day as it comes. No foresight, no future in view. It's actually very sad. Personally, it saddens me when I see Christians who have denied themselves to follow Christ, praying, fasting, doing everything God commands, obeying His instructions, but yet missing out of all that redemption has to offer. It's really painful. As a child of God, having a balanced life should be one of your goals. You want to be balanced, and that is one of the things missing out in the Christian life. Balance. So as a child of God, you want to be as balanced as possible. Without planning, you will live a very unbalanced life. That's not a portion in Jesus' name. You can see a Christian who is, you know, consistent in serving God, living a holy life, doing what God commands, yet when it comes to finances, it's nothing to write home about. You see someone who is very good financially, but going down spiritually. You see another person financially good, spiritually good, but health-wise going down. So what's the cause of all this? Majorly, it's about the lack of plans. Without planning, you will live a very unbalanced life because you only want to spend your life doing what you like to do or enjoy. However, most successes require doing what you do not like to do. Success comes from majorly doing what we don't like to do. Ask any athlete. Nobody really likes to wake up in the morning to start doing exercise, eating the gym, and running for the next 2 hours or so. No one likes it. What do we like doing? I want to wake up in the morning, sit down somewhere, drink sofa, you know, just watch TV all day and see my account growing. That's what most Christians want to do. But success doesn't come that way. So we must be very careful to understand that success comes by doing what we naturally don't like to do. So as a child of God, having a balanced life should be one of your goals and my goals. Ask any athlete, like I said earlier, that wants to win. He wakes up in the morning, both summer, winter, rainy season, dry season, he's eating the gym, running, and doing everything required of him to win the Champions League, or to win a wrestling competition, or to win a boxing competition. It doesn't come by chance. That is how success is. Planning is what makes us do what we naturally do not like to do, because that's where success lies. Ask any student who really wants to start reading, sitting down for hours and reading and memorizing. No. Or you just feel like going to the hall, passing all your exams, and becoming a doctor, becoming an engineer, or whatever you want to be. But when we plan well, we will realize all the things, all the little details of life that will bring success to us. Some Christians only want to spend 24 hours praying. As spiritual as the work of ministry is, maybe pastoring, evangelism, counseling, if all you do is pray, the person is still going to fail. So on the other hand, if all you do is work without consistent times of prayer and fasting, failure is still also imminent as a child of God. So how do we maintain that balance? Planning. And 24 hours is never enough for those who take the day as it comes. If you wake up in the morning, just start thinking and cracking your brain. Oh, what am I going to do today? I'm supposed to go to the market. I'm supposed to read my book. I'm supposed to pray. You end up at the end of the day seeing that the hours, 24 hours, is not enough. But those who plan their day have realized that when I plan my day, assigning a task to every hour of the day is always more than enough for me. It's so much funny to realize that when you don't plan, it looks as if the day is not enough. But when you plan, you realize that the day is even more than enough. Praise God. So what are the benefits of planning? Number one, enhanced focus. Once you plan and realize that if I don't do this, and that, I'm not going to achieve success. So you will be able to focus because you have planned that these are the steps required to achieve my success. So you are able to focus very well because you already saw ahead the things that are required for the success. For example, if I want to become a doctor, I know that these are the subjects I'm going to focus on in school. But if I do not have that plan, I will just read everything. I'll read biology, read physics, read astronomy, start reading different things. Why? Because I don't know where I'm going. But once I know that this is where I'm going, then I can enhance my focus. Number two, benefits of planning. Clearer vision. You know, when you plan, you can see better and more clearly. Clearer will be your vision. Like we saw last week, and check it also. Clearer vision comes from good planning. Number three, foresight from hindsight. Foresight from hindsight. What does that mean? Hindsight is talking about what has happened in time past. Once you plan, you can see, oh, I made a mistake so time. I made a mistake in time past. So I don't want to make that mistake again. So these are the things I'm going to do. You begin to have foresight that in the future, if I take this step and that step, I'm going to be able to have good success. Then number four, what are the benefits of planning? High productivity. Once you have a good plan, you can be sure of productivity. And you know, just as the next step will explain it, you don't just want to be productive. For example, 1% productivity is productivity. 20% productivity is productivity. 100% productivity is productivity. So as a child of God, you are looking at high productivity. The Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Meaning that you are maximizing every moment, maximizing every second, maximizing every season of life. And number five, efficiency and effectiveness. Productivity is not enough. Some are operating at 1% productivity when 80% is actually possible. So you want to be efficient at what you do. What does efficiency mean? You are supposed to buy a good for, let's say, $100, and you are able to buy it for $100. We are talking about you efficiently used your $100. But let's say because you didn't plan well, because you didn't do your bargaining well, you end up spending 110 on what you could have spent 100 on. That means your efficiency is low. We are also talking about effectiveness. How effective am I in productivity? So as a child of God, the benefits of planning includes, like I earlier said, let me run through it again, enhanced focus, clearer vision, foresight from hindsight, and high productivity, then efficiency and effectiveness. Let's look at this. Why do Christians not plan? In my life, in a few years, I'll be close to 30 years being a child of God, being born again for about 30 years. And I can clearly tell you that most of the people who do not plan that I know of are Christians. Unbelievers, Muslims, and pagans alike. Most of them plan very well. You can see them because they've really planned their lives. They are not spending anyhow because they know that if I finish this money, nothing else is coming. So they want to spend with as much accuracy as possible. But Christians, because they believe in God, because we have faith, just, oh, God will provide tomorrow. Let me just enjoy myself today. So why do Christians not plan? Why Christians don't plan? Number one, confusing anxiety with planning. You know, some Christians think anxiety is the same as planning. Why do they think so? Matthew 6:34, it says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So when some people read the scripture, they think that God doesn't want us to plan, that planning is anxiety, that you are being anxious about tomorrow. But no, God is saying when you are worried, that's the meaning of anxiety, being worried, being fearful that something negative is going to happen in the future. That is what anxiety is all about. So God is saying, don't be scared. Don't be fearful. However, because you trust in God, you can sit down and plan with God. In fact, most successes will only come because you plan. We'll say that in a few minutes. So we must understand that anxiety and planning are not the same. Planning will help you to avoid anxiety. Second scripture about that, Philippians 4:6, it says, do not be anxious about anything. That means don't be worried. Don't be troubled. Don't be fearful. Every time you see anxiety, just put fear beside it. But every time you see planning, you are actually trying to avoid fear. But anxiety and fear, they work hand in hand. It means that you are thinking about tomorrow and you are fearful that the negative things will happen to you instead of the positive things. So do not be anxious about anything. It's what the Bible says. But in everything, now it tells you what to do. So there's a plan. There's a solution. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. For the fact that you have requests, it shows that there's something in your heart. There's a plan in your heart. There's something you want to be done. So it's obvious that when you have a plan, you will pray about it. That's what the Bible is saying. You pray, you engage in supplication, then you add thanksgiving to it, and you can avoid anxiety. So anxiety and planning are not the same. Let's not confuse them. Number two, ignorance. Now, some people, because they are ignorant of the future, ignorant of the plans of God. What I just said now reminds me that God himself has a plan. He said, I know the thoughts or the plans I have towards you. They are plans of good, not of evil, to give you an expected future. God himself has plans for you. And we are children of God. So why should I not have a plan? So ignorance. Some people are very ignorant that God has a plan for them, and that they are required to also plan to see those plans come to pass. Number three, prayer. Some people think plans are not required because you already prayed. No, something could be further from the truth than that. Prayer means that you are planning. In fact, as you are planning, you are praying for you to plan well. Your prayer is revealing to you the things you should put in your plan that you have not put there. So that's the purpose of prayer. Then number four, lack of godly counsel. Why Christians don't plan? Because they lack godly counsel. In my journey with God, I found out that many Christians are actually very, very proud. Very unfortunate. That most Christians don't like taking counsel. They want to get married. They think they are right. They've never been married before. Now imagine, somebody who's never been married before. He doesn't want to ask advice from anyone about marriage. And he wants a good marriage. Somebody has not done business before. He wants to get into business and succeed without any plan, without any counsel. It doesn't work that way. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:22 that without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed. In a multitude of counselors, plans succeed. Meaning that you need to have as many counselors as possible for success to come. Success doesn't come by chance, but by counsel. Praise God. Now, how do we maximize planning for good success? How do we maximize planning for good success? I'll just read this. I shared it in my status earlier. Perhaps someone may stumble into overnight breakthroughs, miracle jobs, or miracle marriages. But no one stumbles into continuous success. No one stumbles into good success. It comes through well laid out plans, And good success, which is continuous and generational in nature, is too complex to happen by chance. If you want to doubt me, just look at your body. Your body is good success. How do we know that? God finished creating you and said, "This is good." This is good. That's God's conclusion when he created you. That means he had good success when he created you and I. And look at that success today. Look at your body. Everything in your body functions by systems. We have the digestive system. We have the reproductive system. We have the vision. Everything works by systems. Now imagine your life without a digestive system. Every food you eat will just stay there without being digested. And if it's not digested, it adds nothing to your body. In fact, problems. If you eat too much, what do you do immediately? You begin to find out how that food digests immediately. Why? Because that system needs to work. If digestive system is not working, then there's trouble. So success is a system. You must understand that. And systems are composed of carefully, creatively, and functionally crafted organs. I'll say that again. Success is a system, and systems are composed of carefully, creatively, and functionally crafted organs. Every system in your body is composed of organs. Now, in your digestive system, you have several things. The intestine, even your saliva, helps your digestion. So God created it and made sure every of these things function consistently for you to have consistent success. If you wake up in the morning, you are able to walk around, you are able to eat your food, and the night you are sleeping, you are waking up, it's because all the systems are working. Imagine any part of your system not working, God forbid, there will be trouble. You begin with maybe having headache, and the headache is telling you that something is not functioning in one organ or in one system. So that is exactly how to see planning. Success requires systems. When you hope to achieve success in any feat in life, the next question you should ask is, what would the system look like? And what would the system organs look like? Meaning that I want to achieve this success. The second question should be, what system will be in place for this success to be a reality? So what are the 5 hidden secrets of planning for good success? Number 1, understand the vision or task at hand. Without you understanding the vision or task at hand, you cannot actually plan for it. Or how do you plan for what you don't know? So the Bible says in Proverbs 19:2, it says, "Also, it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge, and he who sins hastens with his feet." I realize that when you're in a hurry, when you're in the haste, most times it is a lack of planning that causes it. Ecclesiastes 10:15 says, "The labor of fools wearies them, but they do not know how to go to the city." So number 1, you need to understand the vision or task at hand. And number 2, what are the consequences of failure? You need to understand that failure has consequences. When you know that if I fail in this task, the consequences that will come my way, I won't like it, or I won't like how I feel at the end of the day, then you want to really plan. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:12, it says, "A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished." So if you don't want the punishment that comes from failure, then you really want to plan. That is a secret that you can engage. Every time you look at I love the law of consequence. You can also listen to the past episode on it. With consequence, someone is reset and you begin to put yourself on the right path. If you hate the consequences of not getting the right thing. Then number 3, understand that everything has a time and season. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "Everything has its time. To everything there's a season, a time to every purpose under heaven." Once you understand there's a time and season for everything, you want to plan. Because if you don't plan, you may just miss the time and season for that success you want to achieve. So you really want to plan because you want to maximize the time and season required for that success to happen. And number 4, count the costs. Count the costs. You want to ask yourself, what does it take to get to the finish line? Luke 14:28. It says, "Who among you wants to build and does not first sit down and count the cost? For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" So the secret for planning is that you want to know, you want to count the cost. You want to see, can I finish this? What will it require for me to finish this? So you want to get that. Now, number five, understand the duration. How long will this take? Without the duration, success is hardly in view. If you don't know how long it takes, you'll be weary on the way. You'll be weary, you won't know what it requires to get to the finish line. The labor of fools weary them, for they do not know how to go to the city. And that's Ecclesiastes 10:15. It says, the labor of fools weary them because they do not know how to go into the city. And when we look at Proverbs 19:2, it tells us that also it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge. And he sins who hastens with his feet. So God wants us to have enough knowledge of how long it will take so that success is feasible. And once you know how long, what do? Engage in programming. Assign a task to each hour of the day. You want to assign a task to every hour, to every minute. Praise the Lord. And lastly, how do we make working plans? It's not enough to just make plans. You want your plans to work. You want to see all your plans working and bringing the intended results. So what do you do? Seek counsel. Proverbs 20:18. It says, plans are established by counsel, and by wise counsel wage war. So you want to seek counsel. Like I mentioned before, without counsel, plans fail. That's what the Bible says. So seek counsel if you want to make working plans. Seeking counsel does not always mean you have to contact people. Your phone in your hands, just go online, search for things. That's seeking counsel. It may just help you to make successful plans. For example, you are going on a journey. You want to seek counsel if you have not gone there before. How long does this journey take? How do I get there on time? What options do I have to get to this journey on time? So you seek counsel. And number seven, break each item into smaller tasks and rejoice when you finish each task. I can't tell you the importance of this more than enough. There's something they call the joy of accomplishment. The more you accomplish things, the happier you become. And that joy is very good for success. For example, you want to build a house. Maybe the only thing you could do is get a land. Oh my God. When you get a land, start a party in your home, privately. If you are married, with your wife, your children, dance to God, sing, go out, enjoy yourself that day and rejoice to God. If you check the Bible, the Old Testament, the Bible is full of festivals of all kinds. You say you celebrate this, celebrations of all kinds. And what does it tell them to do? It says, eat the fat. It was telling them, enjoy yourself that day. Why? Because something has been accomplished. So if you want to achieve a big task, the small one you have achieved, rejoice over it. Rejoice. Enjoy yourself that day. Praise God that day that, wow, I finished this. You want to pray for 1 hour. You pray for 15 minutes continuously without distraction. You want to say thank God. You want to rejoice. You are doing business. Maybe your plan is to do business in millions. And the first one that came is in hundreds. You want to rejoice that, wow, so I could even do business that will bring me $100 or 100 naira, whatever your currency is. You want to rejoice. You want to appreciate God and say, oh, Father, thank you. So break each item into smaller tasks and rejoice when you finish each task. Then number three, for how to make working plans, create a system with appropriate organs to run it. You want to start a business, you want to create a system. Yes, you are the only one running the business now. Let there be an account department. You are the one that will be the accountant, but there's an account department. Let there be an administrative department. You are the one still running the bus. It's already there. So when you need extra hands, all you need to do is employ somebody to fill it up. But you already have the system running. And I pray that as we do this, success is ours in Jesus' name. And lastly, learn from nature. That's God's handiwork. Everything in nature runs by systems. Imagine if gravity fails for one day. You don't even want to imagine what will happen. Every house will float. You yourself will float. Everything will be eating each other. That will be the end of the world. So God created a system and put gravity in place. The whole earth is floating, but the things on the earth are not floating. That is a system that God created. The waters are running. The sun comes up in the morning. At night, you don't see it again. The moon comes up. That's a system. You also want to set up that system in your life and my life. And I pray that as we have listened to this today, God himself will bring us good success. And as we begin to obey the plans of God for our lives, we will see our plans coming to pass in Jesus' name. You want to listen to this over and over again. I myself, I will also listen to it. Invite other people next week and be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you have any question, everyone is allowed to speak now. You can speak if you want to. You can just unmute your mic and ask a question if you have it. Maybe you have a challenge with planning, like everyone else. It's always easier to wake up in the morning and just jump at any task that comes. But with planning, we can be assured of success. Of course, with other things. Any question?
Thank you so much for tonight's word. I was really blessed, especially with the planning part of it. Like you said, it's easy to just jump out of bed in the morning and just do anything that comes. So it's been like that for some time. So I picked that so that I can be able to achieve the things I need to achieve for the day. So I need to plan properly. Sometimes I get to plan, but some interruptions will just come in. And like today, I was trying to listen to some other messages, and the previous message you talked about how to say no to some things. So I am able to sync it in with this planning, and so that, you know, there are certain things I'll have to say no to so that I can achieve my task for the day. So I'm really blessed, and I thank you so much.
All right, thank God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Any other person? As we close.
All right, okay. I just wanted to say that I was challenged a bit because I do plan virtually every day. But at the end of the day, I don't find myself working in the plans that I've actually written down. Just maybe working in one or two out of like five parts or six things that I'm supposed to have done. Seeing the benefits has actually challenged me. And it's actually true that when one plans, you have enough time to even do all that. But I guess I'm actually much more challenged.
Okay, so what you just said now, I think it's a challenge that many of us, if not all of us, face. You know, you plan to achieve 10 things and you end up finishing only sometimes one or two out of them all. But it still goes back to, when you go back to listen to the message, it still goes back to the hidden secrets. Number one, understand the vision. Understand the duration. So most times where we fail is to understand how long a task should actually take. You know, how long it should take. Sometimes you think something should take 10 minutes. You know, we always, as human beings, we always wishing instead of facing the reality. You just wish that you finish by 10 minutes. Sometimes these things are hidden. You think you are not wishing that you are actually planning, but it's wishes. You know, you wish that it would take 10 minutes when it should actually take 1 hour. But along the line, we also learn, especially with repetitive tasks. You know, you realize that yesterday I thought I would spend 1 hour on this and I ended up spending 3 hours. So today, you are not going to say 3 hours. You're going to say maybe 2 hours today. 1.5 hour. You're actually looking at all the things that caused the excess time yesterday. If it's distractions, you want to take them away. But if it's not distractions, then you make room for all those excesses today. And in the long run, you forgive yourself and say, okay, I'm going to do better again today. You don't allow the failure to meet your targets yesterday affect what you're going to do today. So we need to check that also. Then another thing is avoid distractions. Avoid distractions as much as possible. Distractions will come. Your phone will ring, messages will come in. You own the phone, sometimes you just have to mute our phones. When you really want to concentrate, those people calling you, they are calling because they have time, they are free. And if you are not free, then there's no obligation. You also call them back when you are free. Maybe they are free then, or send message or something. So number one, we need to understand that your life, my life, will give account of it, not the account of someone else's life. Of course, not that we make everything revolve around us alone in selfishness, but we must understand and separate and put a line between when you are going out of your way to help people and when you're just allowing things to distract you. So I pray that God will also empower us all to be able to maximize all these benefits in Jesus' name. Yes, let's listen to it again. I'm sure this came from heaven, and we will also be empowered. The Bible says that the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. These words coming out from the Holy Spirit, they are also spirit and they are life. As you listen to this over and over again, you are empowered to be able to do the things that have been said. And I pray all of us will return back blessed and fulfilled as we begin to focus on our destinies in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. See you next week. And please invite someone. Don't come alone next week. Invite someone. Share it on your status. And you'll be blessed for that in Jesus' name. Amen. See you next week. Let's enjoy our night. Bye.